for myself and my wife and my two little boys. And we can't believe that we've been in Korea for 3 years already. And my wife and I are what you call bananas or Twinkie. And yellow on the outside like a good Asian, but white in the inside, meaning really Americanized Asian. We lived in America for 37 years of our life. And I love baseball and apple pie and everything else. And I'm an American citizen and so forth. But I'm very proud of my Korean heritage as well. And so it was a quite of adjustment for us to actually come back home to Korea after we had left at the age of 6 and 7. And I remember when I first landed in Korea, it was just amazing to be around. For the first time, I was a majority, not a minority. And because even in the U.S., although I'm an American citizen, although I love America, we were always the minority, especially growing up in the South. But we realized coming to Korea, such an exciting place, we felt like, wow, we're the majority for the first time. But we quickly realized that, you know what, we don't really quite fit in America because of the color of our skin. But we don't quite fit in Korea either because we don't speak the language very well. We dress differently. Our mannerisms are different. And so many times, many of our Korean brothers and sisters, unknowingly sometimes, they kind of look down upon us. And so we're trying to quickly learn the language and the culture. So we feel like we're really kind of caught between two cultures all the time, my wife and I. And many of you guys, I think, have maybe you're experiencing that, those of you that have been here for many years, and those of you that are new to Korea. I remember I got into 3 accidents when I first came to Korea. And I'm a pretty good driver, by the way. But the reason I've got into those accidents was because of my impatience. Now, I'm used to open highways in Texas. I'm used to just concept of my space. But here in Korea, as soon as you land, you remember you got 14 million people within the first outer loop. Second outer loop is 28 million altogether. And so you're in this tiny little country in the size of New Jersey, an awesome country at that, a great place, but very crowded. But I'm used to not living in New York City, but in Houston and Dallas, where it's humongous. So all of a sudden we come here and people are cutting us off and honking and everything else and just really stressed me out and got into 3 accidents because of culture shock. Because of what I'm having to adjust to this new culture, new food, new friends, new church, just new work, just everything was just really hard for me, as wonderful as Korea is. And so maybe some of you guys are going through similar culture shock or going through that or will go through that. But I don't know where you are. But one thing for sure for our family is that we quickly realize that my wife and I thought, you know what, the most important thing for us to do is just really get plugged into a church right away. Especially we have 2 boys who are really young, did not speak lick of Korean whatsoever, and did not even enjoy Korean food at all. And then all of a sudden we came here, and they're thrown into a Korean school, a really good school, but not like GSIS where they're learning English and so forth. But all of a sudden they were thrown into a Korean school having to learn. So they were going through really hard times as well. And so we were really struggling for the first 6 months. Although we enjoy Korea, we really struggled. And so we really even thought about sometimes, I even thought about, wow, I really miss America. I really miss my university back in the U.S. and thought about a lot of things. But we quickly decided, as I shared, to join a church. And we found, really, which was God sent, the nation's church. And so we quickly joined, and we were able to really find a place where Word of God is really preached in an uncompromising way. Wonderful people like yourself, great praise team. Everybody is just able to just all come together. We have people from all walks of life, all different denominations, all different experiences, coming together as one nation, just experiencing Jesus in such a wonderful way. And so from that experience, we just felt led, my wife and I, to just really help with the focus group. And what is a focus group? Many of you guys, especially back in the U.S. and U.K. and Australia, wherever you might be from, just about every church these days have something called a small group or a cell group or a life group, whatever you want to call it. But as we pray for this, you know, as our congregation has really grown, God has really blessed our church, even numerically. Now, as we're growing larger, our pastors thought, you know what, we really need to focus inward. We really need to get smaller somehow. And so for our people to really connect with one another, we've got people from all walks of life. We've got people from all different parts of the world. And for us to really kind of connect together in Jesus. And so we started something called the focus group. The reason why we called it the focus group was the fact that, you know, in cell groups and home churches, life groups, or whatever you want to call it, there's some great ministries going on all over the world. But one thing that we realize here in Korea, it's all pali-pali. You know, everything is just quick, quick, quick. You know, everybody's in a hurry here. And I don't know about you guys, but living in Korea, I am telling you, it's just everything's just moving so quickly. And everything's on the fly. And the culture's moving very fast. And we're a very transient congregation. And so we felt like, you know what? We need to be able to focus. Keep focus on Jesus. Keep focus on our identity. Keep focus on our purpose of why we're doing our church, why we're doing our focus group. That's what we decided to call it, the focus group. Now, focus group has threefold purpose. If you look in your sermon notes, it's threefold purpose. And it is, one, R, relationship. It's an acronym, R-E-D, RED. Relationship, evangelism, and discipleship. You know, in Genesis, God says, it is not good for a man to be alone. You hear that all the singles out here, yes? And it is not good for a man to be alone or a woman. And I believe God has designed all of us to be in a community, to belong to a community. And in Ecclesiastes, it talks about where two or three cords are coming together, there's strength in numbers. So if one falls, you could be picked up. If one is struggling, you could be encouraged. So something about a biblical community. And so it brings security and strength. We want to grow in life together. We want to be able to just really sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. As we're so busy teaching or working, whatever you might be doing, that we want to be able to, for you to not just come to church only on Sundays. It's so wonderful that all of you guys are here to worship God. But we want you to grow deeper in Christ. We want you to really be able to connect with one another and not to live in this solitude, but live in a community. Just really belong as a brothers and sisters in Christ. And the great scripture for relationship is Hebrews chapter 10:25, and the Word of God reads, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see days approaching." Second one is evangelism. Wherever you might be from, I'm not sure what church or what denomination or what faith or what theology, but in Matthew chapter 28:19, we all know this famous verse, the Great Commission. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit." We believe here through the focus group that God wants us to really connect, to really bring about true, genuine friendship that is in Christ, as Christ has the cornerstone. That we believe in being seeker-sensitive, that we want to be sensitive to our non-Christian brothers and sisters. We want to be sensitive to those that are really struggling, that might not know Christ, but we're not sure why. All of us have come to Korea. It could be for various reasons. It could be for your school loans. It could be just you just want to have some great experience in a foreign, in a different culture. I have no idea. But whatever the reason that you might be here, we want you to know that God has brought you here to this church to just really, for you to really grow in Christ. And so we want to be seeker sensitive. We want to be evangelistic. We want to be able to reach those that are unreached here in Korea. Third, discipleship. As a natural part of our spiritual growth, we become active disciples of Jesus Christ and forever student of His Word. You know, we believe in discipleship. We believe that focus group will be an avenue for you to really grow as a Christian. To really be an avenue to just really allow us to really mature in Christ. So Matthew chapter 28:20, it says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you always to the very end of the age. And so those three things, relationship, evangelism, discipleship, that's what makes our focus group. And we pray that all of you guys will just really think about and consider to really getting connected to this body of Christ through the focus groups. At this time, if it's okay, I don't want to embarrass some of you guys, but I would like for all of our current focus group shepherds and leaders, as well as our past. We're in our third term already. Those that are currently and was as a shepherd, could you please just stand where you are just right now? Just stand just for a second. We want to recognize you guys. Other shepherds as well in the back. We have, Okay, thank you. Thank you guys. Please grab a seat. Can we give these guys a big round of applause? Yes. We have other focus group leaders that are out of town and so forth, but these guys have really accepted the call to just really lead a focus group. We're so grateful for their leadership and their heart for this ministry. Now, lastly, for me, before my wife comes up, I just want to briefly talk about what is the purpose, what is our motto, what is our purpose of our focus group ministry here. It is from Luke chapter 15. We all know these three parables. I won't talk about all three, but one of the parable talks about that there was 100 sheep, and then one sheep got lost. And the good shepherd leaves the 99 good shepherds behind and seeks after that one lost sheep. And we believe that this passage really speaks, really is the heartbeat of our focus group. Because how do you suppose that one sheep got lost? Maybe he thought the pasture was greener on the other side. Maybe he was just tired of his sheep and said, forget it, I am out of here. Or maybe he was just kind of grazing along, next thing you know, he looked up and, whoa, everybody's gone. For whatever the reason, we don't know, the scripture doesn't say, but the sheep got lost. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first came to Korea, I was really lost, mainly due to just all the new changes, not being with my friends and my parents, and just being in a new surrounding, new type of food, new church, just everything, and I was really straying away from the Lord in many different ways. So I'm not sure where you are in your relationship with God. I'm sure it's all great, but for me, it wasn't. And so it was very important for me to really connect with the body of Christ. And so we see this one sheep that got lost. And the good shepherd, the scripture says, left the 99 good ones behind and sought after that one lost sheep. And the great thing about this passage that really hits me home, the scripture says, until he finds it. Until, meaning it's a relentless pursuit of that one lost sheep until he finds it. That is the heart of God. That is who God is. That he will leave the 99 good ones behind and seek after that one lost sheep. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the focus of our focus group. It's the fact that we are about seeking after that one lost sheep. That is the heart of God. That is the heartbeat of our focus group as well and our church. And so we see that Luke 15, that it also speaks of a great shepherd. All of our shepherds that have stood here, they're wonderful folks. No one's perfect. But all I know is that our shepherds have done a really wonderful job, really seeking after those that are lost and really being faithful to God. And so I want to encourage all of you guys once again to really consider joining our focus group, to really be part of this body of Christ, for us to all of us grow, become disciples of Jesus.
Okay, as Peter mentioned, there's different types of small groups and cell groups and life groups all over the world. And if I were to ask each and one of you, what is your definition of a small group? It will probably be all different. Same goes if I were to say, what is your experience in a small group? Everybody probably would have a different answer. Today, though, I want to talk about more of small groups in our church setting. how it's different here. As Peter mentioned, just look around. We are all unique, and we are a mosaic of people, literally from all over the world. Those traditional small groups that maybe you've been a part of in the past, they're great, and they're flourishing well at other churches. But I want to, you may be familiar with them, and I want to talk about them a little bit, but I will also talk about how we're different from those traditional small groups. Those, you know, small groups or cell groups or life groups at other churches, they're usually a Bible study, and they're usually ongoing. They just go all throughout the year. They don't take a break, and it's the same format week to week usually. And then the way they grow is through multiplying and then dividing. So when a group gets too big, then they split off and they form two groups. This method is consistently repeated over time, and then eventually they grow. Now, it's working well, but as you know, you can see that maybe that might not work well for us, since we are a transient congregation, and we are have a Korean and an English congregation as well. So even though those models may work well, there are some recognized problems to those to that type. Now, one of them might be people form cliques, okay? We have that natural tendency to kind of hover and click with people that we naturally feel comfortable with. And so when that happens, then people get too comfortable and they don't want to multiply. They stay small on purpose, and there's just no growth. They want to stay a certain number on purpose. And that can be dangerous, because it's hard for newcomers to come in, or even other people to join in. If they don't fit perfectly in that model or that personality type of the group, then newcomers or others are uncomfortable. They can't join. And so there's always a tendency also to look inward, always look to yourself and to the those only in your group, and kind of like lift each other up, huddle around each other, and just only want to personally grow and personally fix on your own problems and the problems of your members. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's always the focus of inward looking. So essentially, people become a holy huddle, and it's hard to break. And being a church like this, where people are always coming and going, there's not that much time. And so if you have that kind of holy huddle, then it's hard for people to break through, as well as hard for Koreans and Westerners to overcome that language barrier and that culture barrier, because we may not be the same. So in that type of model as well, over time, leaders can burn out. Imagine leading a Bible study week to week to week, every, you know, week for the whole year, never having a break. So that's, you know, kind of tiring for a leader. And sometimes maybe leaders, people may not want to step up to leadership, because they see it's like, oh my gosh, I can never stop. But with focus groups, you can see we are not like that. And at the same time, if members don't feel the freedom to move around from group to group, they may be at one group and they may just be stuck there and feel like, oh, I don't know how to leave. What if I hurt my leader's feelings? Or, oh, I want to try out this new group, but how do I do that? And so sometimes there can be broken relationships or hurt feelings, you know, or maybe you just stay in a group out of courtesy for the leader, or you're just in a rut and you don't feel like, you know, venturing out to meet new people. So after a while, eventually there is no diversity and each small group looks the same. So you can kind of see like how those can be a problem. Now for us, though, at here at the Nations, you know, you can agree that we are not your typical church. And as you've been here for a while, you can also see many people coming and going. So as Peter mentioned, we are a transient church. And that's why this focus group model works well for us. let me just, you know, some of you, bear with me, already know about focus groups, but let me introduce it one more time. It's focus groups are 10-week sessions where we meet for 10 weeks at a time with seasonal breaks in between. And these groups can be either Bible study based or activity based. So anything. The great thing about focus groups is that, you know, you don't have to be a Bible study. If you don't feel comfortable or feel confident enough to be a Bible study leader, then that's okay. You can do anything that you want to do. And so we take into account people's changing commitments in this transitional setting, and we also take into account people's current life status, and we allow flexibility for you to either lead or join during one of those terms. So there is no long-term commitment, and then there is no leader burnout because you do have your breaks. And members can freely move about from one group to another from term to term. And it prevents unhealthy dependency on a leader and then also inspires you to rise up and lead yourself. In this model as well, it allows and offers more leading or leader opportunities to a large group of people. If we had just a small group and only set amount of leaders, then those are our leaders. But with a big congregation like this, focus groups with the small terms, you know, 10 weeks at a time, we offer that opportunity for you to lead, so that many, many more gifts that God has gifted you can emerge, so that varying gifts can be used for the body of blessing other people. So those are one of the benefits of having focus groups this way. So you ask, okay, how can we accomplish RED with just 10 weeks, right? 10 weeks is too short. And as Peter talked about relationships, it takes time to build. So how can we accomplish RED in just 10 weeks? Well, as we said before, focus groups are just a platform, a means for accomplishing RED. But we know in real life that RED is happening all around. In reality, people are making relationships. People are evangelizing and sharing with their neighbors and coworkers and so forth. And we know that, you know, people meet to share about God's word. So we know that RED is happening. And, you know, that's great. Focus groups are just a way to get RED started. And we encourage you to continue to meet outside of the 10 weeks. After the 10 weeks are over, we encourage you to keep meeting and keep continuing. And we're glad to see that it is still happening. And we've already known many relationships and many good things that have come out of focus groups. And that's just the beginning. But what comes after that is what God does in your life continually. So you might be wondering then, if other groups multiply and divide and that's how they grow, how do we grow in our church? What is our growth dynamic with the focus group? Okay, I have two words, and that is constant flow. Being a transient church, you can see a constant flow of people coming in and out, right? So we have a constant flow of people rising to lead, and we encourage that. We have a constant flow of new relationships happening in focus groups, as well as old relationships continuing in fresh new contexts. So we have a constant flow of life and movement and momentum, and then this helps to avoid stagnation, boredom, and ruts. So for your sermon notes there, the blanks are constant flow versus stagnation. We have a constant flow of people, constant flow of life and growth, so that we don't become stagnant. So that's why people may ask, well, why do we have to stop meeting after 10 weeks? You know, we want to continue. We have it so good and people are getting along and we're really growing. Do we really have to stop? The question is, I'm sorry, but yes. The reason we stop is because we want to make room and open the doors for new people to be invited in and to join. I'm not saying you don't have to meet with those people, you know, after the 10 weeks is over, but to keep things fresh and to keep the dynamic of growth and the constant flow of outward thinking, outward looking, we want to reopen new focus groups every time. Now, if you've been here before, we've had marketing times, and it's like a college fair. You go around, you know, to the different tables, and you look around to see what part should I be, what group should I be a part of this time? Or perhaps if you didn't see a group that you like to join, then hopefully you may have been inspired to say, you know what, maybe I will lead a group next time. So marketing times are very good so that you can go and see what you can be a part of and be plugged into a life church. So, in a life group, I'm sorry, focus group, I'm sorry. Now, in September, so next month, we will have a marketing time again. So those of you who are new to Korea or new to the Nations Church, that'll be a good, exciting time for you to see how you can get involved and how you can serve. Now, you know, we've seen over the past 1 year that we have done focus group, that we've seen this dynamic of excitement. Even with the focus group survey that we have done a couple months ago, and out of that survey, you guys gave us your ideas and your input and your wants of what you, you know, would like to see happening at the church. And we're glad to say many group options and many leaders rose out of that survey. So we're glad to see that people are rising up, people are getting excited about focus groups. And if you've never been part of a focus group, then, you know, give it a try. And the great thing is, like I said, you can do anything you want. If you don't feel comfortable leading a Bible study, then, you know, just ask yourself, what is your hobby? What would I like to do with some people around here, you know? Is it photography? Like, would you like to go and take some pictures and share about your new, you know, gadgets and stuff like that? Or is it hiking? Do you like to be active outside? Cooking? You know, I did a cooking group last term and it was wonderful. I gained some weight, but it was fun. You know, we had a lot of fun and we ate well and really fellowshipped and enjoyed, you know, what God had to give through the blessing of food. I want to, at this time, give an example of a church member who got involved in focus groups. This person, she came to Korea exactly about a year ago, just when our church was first launching focus group ministry. So she got involved right away, joined the group, and being new to Korea, she, you know, of course goes through her adjustments as well. When she joined the focus group, it allowed her to find the support that she needed to adjust in a new country and make friends right away and to continually grow and be plugged into a body. Now, during the past year, she joined other focus groups after the first term ended, so then where she was able to make more friends and make more connections. So even with the last term, this past term we had, she rose up and then even came a focus group leader. So even though she was only here for a short term, she was able to be really blessed and enrich her life as well as others through her involvement and participation in focus groups. So you may be saying to yourself, well, I'm only in Korea for 1 year. You know, that's not enough time to get involved, or I don't want to get too involved because I'm going to leave soon. Or you may say, 1 year is not enough to make new friends, or my English is not good enough, or how am I going to speak to Koreans? You know, there's some barriers here at our church, but, you know, I think I might have forgotten the purpose. One of our purposes to overcome barriers in our church, cultural, language, and geographical. So I'm sorry for those sermon notes there. And we do have those barriers at our church. But as Peter mentioned, the good shepherd and the good sheep, as we go out to search for that lost sheep or for those that hungry, those lost people who are hungry for God's word, then we can overcome that. So even though, let's say, there are a language barrier there, but if we come together with the main group dynamic of coming together for a shared interest, a common ground, not because we're alike, not because we have the same personality, but if we come together under the shared common interest, then we can overcome those language barriers. We can overcome those cultural barriers. And so, actually, activity groups are a great way to do that. And there can be an ease of a transition from activity to a deeper, maybe a Bible study based afterwards. So I know that there are some challenges in our congregation because there are, you know, Korean and English speaking, but focus groups can be a very great dynamic way of bringing groups together under the same common interest, and that common interest being bonded because of the Good Shepherd's love. Go back to that one leader who in that 1 year was able to be benefited through her participation. And let me just say for 1 minute that our church didn't have focus groups, but it was like a traditional small group setting. Now, let's say this person came in and fortunately felt right and fit into a group right away. So no doubt she would be blessed and she would have made friends and gotten along. But she would have only gotten to know the people in her little small group. She would have missed out on the opportunity to meet more people at the church. But then let's say there wasn't a group that she felt comfortable in right away, then she wouldn't have been plugged in at all. So in that model, she would have also probably not, you know, rised up to leadership as well. So the fact that we have focus groups, she was able to rise up to leadership, even though it was just for one term, that's okay. You know, we encourage you to rise up and lead one term or more if God's leading you and you have gifts. We want many gifts to rise from this focus group platform. Now, so if you're interested, please come and talk to us later after the service. We are having a break this time in August, but we will resume focus groups in September. Our first training will be September 4th. So if you're interested, come talk to us. We'll give you details, and then we would love to have you join us for our training. Now, focus groups will start end of September. So think about it. You know, how is God challenging you? Maybe you've been here for a while, and you haven't, stepped up. Maybe you felt the urge in your heart, but you didn't know how to. I think people generally have that like yearning to meet with other people, to bond and get together. And then you may be asking, well, why do I have to make it a focus group? Or why do I have to come under the focus groups? I'm just meeting with one or two people. What's the big deal? Well, to that we say, God has ordained and blessed this church with this ministry, and, you know, that heart to want to bless and evangelize and do red is wonderful, but we pray that you align that with what God has aligned in the church. So to find the support through our pastors and to find the support through the leaders of our church and to find the support that you need to be a leader. And that's what the pastors are here for. So at this time, I want to invite one of our current leaders to come and share about her experience with focus groups. Danielle. Thank
you. Sorry, a little nervous. Anyway, I'm Danielle Jung. I started attending The Nations in the fall of 2008. It's been a blessing from the beginning, enjoying being challenged consistently by the messages, connecting with friends, and meeting new people, studying and serving together. The first focus group I attended was last year with Pastor Joe. It was called Relevant Lives. It was amazing. I learned a lot, and if you guys know Pastor Joe, there's no way to summarize everything that we learned. It was really awesome. And then here on Sunday, there are a few more familiar faces for me to see each week. The second term I attended was another group with Pastor Joe, and we studied a book titled With Christ in the School of Prayer. Again, I learned a lot. Still hard to summarize, but if I could say, in regards to the Lord's Prayer, it's His name, His kingdom, His will, before, give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. And we learned about listening to Holy Spirit and praising God before anything else. It was a great midweek meeting, and I began to feel even more comfortable here on Sundays. This past term, I participated in two focus groups. Eugene led Entrusted with a Child's Heart. We explored motherhood with biblical truths via DVD, and that is really amazing. Highly recommend that. It's probably going to be offered again if you're a mom or if you want to be a mom. It's a really, really good foundation in Christ. Little plug, sorry. And then with God's grace, His gift of time, and wonderful ladies here at the Nations, I led the Moms for the Nations focus group at my house. The vision for this group was to join the hearts of the mothers at the Nations Church to provide prayer coverage for their families and to support each other through prayers, encouragement, scripture, and fellowship. To listen to each other, our problems and concerns and joys, and help each other to bring it all back to God. To learn together to claim God's promises in His word. And as I read back through our prayer requests, answers, and emails thinking about this, I can testify that God allowed this to happen, and I'm really thankful for the relationships He's given us and all that He's still going to do. It's been less than a year since I joined my first focus group, and there's even more that I'm thankful to God for. I've learned that when I obey God in simple things, it can and often does become a huge blessing and gift to somebody else. I've experienced as a group unity in life circumstances. We're more similar with each other than we may think. Some people may look like they have it all together, or it appears they don't experience any hardship, but we all have feelings, challenges, and obstacles to overcome, and it's been really encouraging to know that we're not alone, and not only do we have each other, but we have a great big God that we serve who leads us and teaches us through His word and through each other. I've been part of groups where our desire is for God's reign in our lives, wanting and expecting more from Him, and all the while being assured that we can be used by Him for His kingdom and that He's never far from us. So I've been very thankful. I just want to finish up with some scripture from Colossians 2, 6 to 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And then Hebrews 10, 22 to 25 up there. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Amen. And then let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Those verses have been my experience in focus group. Spurring one another on, meeting together, encouraging one another, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. All this is possible because He who promised is faithful. So thank you for letting me share my journey.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for bearing with us for the last 30 minutes. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves for a time of closing worship and offering. And so let's prepare our hearts for that. And please keep in mind, I remember Pastor John sharing this during our training, that our character that God gives us is tested in the midst of relationships. And it is so true. I don't know about you. I thought I was somewhat all that until I got married and also having children. And I realized, wow, you know, especially your children, they mirror your heart and who you are. And I thought I was a pretty decent guy until I had children and realized, well, I got a long ways to go. And so really, our character is tested in the midst of relationships. So I want to encourage you to really grow in Christ, to really become disciples of Christ through our focus groups, through the relationship, through the small group ministry that we have. Thank you.